month, you can let us know what you've been doing.
Thank you for letting us decorate the church.
I have to tell you, it's none of my work at all. Lorianne has had an explosion of creativity over the last few years. She was working at it last night, producing another piece of prophetic art. So it's nice to have a wife like that, it really is.
And it's a real joy to be back with some dear friends from long, long ago. I'd forgotten until I walked in this morning just how much you mean to me. And thanks to the previous pastors to be back here as well. Thank you. It says in Luke 8:39, return to your home and declare what God has done for you. So I'm here. I'm declaring. And boy, has he done stuff for us. There are two ways of taking a course of action. Plan one or plan A would be to do the research, pick a plan, and then pray to God that he will bless your plan and everything will come out well. And there's another way of doing it, which is pray to God first so that you can discern what God's plan is. And then I have to tell you, you don't even have to pray so much because he blesses you with kindnesses and things if you're following his plan. And I like to think that's what's happened to us. We didn't sit down and say, oh, let's go to South Africa, it sounds like a good place. It was a series of dreams and other supernatural things that happened to both of us over the previous, we were in missionary training in Mozambique, some of you will remember, and it started then and it ended up when we actually arrived in South Africa. And it's extraordinary how his amazing kindness has dazzled us over the time. I've actually coined an acronym, TKOG, the kindness of God. So if I run short of time, which reminds me, pull my watch out, then I will talk in acronyms throughout just to get through it. The first amazing thing was to do with our visas. It takes 8 weeks normally to get a South African visa. We went to the South African High Commission here in Ottawa, and they called us as we were eating breakfast the next morning and said, your visas are ready. I've never heard of anybody else that happened to. But that was a pretty good indication, and just the right place to be going to. Nowadays, it's much more difficult to get a South African visa, by the way. They've tightened the screws. I think it's something to do with President Trump. I'm not quite sure. And the kindness of God is actually in another verse in the Bible somewhere. Romans 2, verse 4. The kindness of God leads to repentance. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for full repentance. So we accept all the kindness he can give us. And the kind of things I'm talking about with kindness are things you didn't expect, that it suddenly goes right. Now, some of those are big things, like the passport. Others are things like this pair of pants that I'm wearing, where I went into, I haven't got time for that story, or this shirt. But I promise you, both of these pieces of clothing came as a result of something I didn't expect that God gave me just at the right time. So we do not discount small kindnesses and small miracles because we've had hundreds of them. We really have. And we totally love and believe in those miracles. I would say, and I need to say something about Canada Day here for the record. He started his kindnesses with me when I arrived in Canada on the 16th of April, 1987. And I'd come from a murky background. And things have gone a whole lot better since that day, nearly 30 years ago. And I bless him that he brought me here. Had no idea what was going to happen. I didn't have. He did. The other day, somebody put this into my hands. I can't even remember who it was. In the front, it says, nothing happens by chance. And on the back, it says, sometimes life seems so random. Does anybody know what you're going through? Does anybody care? And that struck a chord with me. Next picture, please. Quite early on in our time in South Africa, I wanted to get stuck into the townships where we were going to be doing our work. There's about 8 or 9 townships surrounding Worcester, South Africa, and one of them is called Avian Park. It's quite a dangerous place. They probably get somebody murdered about once a week in Avian Park. So probably 2,000 or 3,000, maybe 5,000 people. A lot of them are children. This is Sarita. And we connected with YWAM. There's a wonderful YWAM in Worcester. It's been there for quite a long time. And it had been recommended to us, go and see YWAM, and they'll give you some suggestions about where you might be needed. We didn't want to start a new ministry. We wanted to help existing ministries. And so the boss of YWAM said to me, I want to introduce you to a couple of people. One of them, three people actually. One of them is Jan Buchanan. She's an Australian missionary. Another one is Mella Davis. She's a teacher who runs a school. And the third one is Pastor Fuller. Well, Pastor Fuller goes into Avian Park 3 times a week to run ministries for children, like this girl. And so I said, can I come with you? And he said, sure. So I went in his vehicle with a number of other YWAM people. And the evening, he does this 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, into a place in Avian Park where most white people in the town wouldn't actually go. He said to me, you'll be okay, you're with me, and once people know you're with me, you're going to be okay. So that was my main motivation. And the evening started with letting the children, about 70 or 80 children, run around and play. The next was there would be music. And he'd have his boombox with him, and he'd play these sequence of songs, which were I'd never heard before. I knew they were Christian songs, and as soon as he started, all the children started dancing. Now, African children really know how to dance, and so the moment they get the first note, up there, and they would dance like this, like mad, for about half an hour. Jumping ahead slightly, I had to find out what these songs were, and I recorded them, and I took them home, and Lorianne has Shazam on her thing, and so Shazam identified what these songs were. And later, I learned most of them, and that's what we use for our ministry to our children. Thank you, Shazam, TKOG. And then after that, he gives a little talk, and it's always very direct. He speaks in English. Most of them know enough English because they listen to English movies. And but sometimes she interprets. She can do simultaneous interpretation. And then after that, they have food. He brings in quite vast quantities of rice and stuff, and he gives them a good meal. It's the only meal they'll get that day. But I was just struck by the message on her shirt. Remember I said, here, does anybody care? And Sarita gets it even more pointedly. Who actually cares? And that spoke to me right at the beginning. I took that picture the first time I saw her. I saw her many, many times after that, but that's the picture that I brought home. And it told me why we were there. It really spoke to my heart. Thank you, Sarita. Why are so many people so poor in South Africa? Not everybody's poor. It's a first world country, and it's a third to fourth world country. But they are alongside one another in the town. So we live in a fairly well-to-do area, a gated community for people older than 50. And in the same town are places like Avian Park. I'd like to give you my feeling about what has happened here in Africa. Because, as you know, apartheid stopped in 1994. And I want to do this illustration mentioning the 10th commandment. I'm sure you all know what the 10th commandment is. It's the one I've found most useful for teaching children. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox, his ass, his dining room table, his Wi-Fi system, or anything else like that, or his phone. Most important thing to all Africans, their phone. And we were driving back from Virginia just 3 weeks ago, and we've done this drive a number of times, and we were coming up on the I-95, and it had been a real crawl all the way from Williamsburg right up to Baltimore. It was nose to tail. And we crossed over a bridge, and underneath was another road, and that was nose to tail. I thought to myself, what happened? What's going on here? We've been here. We've never seen this before. And I had a revelation. You may not know this, but the employment rate in America is lower than it's been for 40 years. So all those people who have been coveting what I've got, a car, have now gone out and bought one. And they're all on the road the same day that I'm here. And I had this very, very evil thought for a fraction of a second. Why are they allowed to do that? This is not fair. Why should they have cars? And then immediately I thought, what am I thinking? Of course they should have cars. And that's a clue as to what happened in the days when the apartheid system was dreamed up, because they just didn't want the vast majority of South Africans to share in the wealth. They wanted to keep them down. And one of the ways they kept them down was by education. The colored and the black children didn't have access to anything like the quality of education that the whites did. And it's a really sad thing. I don't think the architects of apartheid really cared so much about what color they were. They just didn't want to give them a slice of the financial pie. And although apartheid is now a thing of the past, that legacy of economical separation remains, and that's why they have townships there. And that's why Sarita probably has one set of clothes and may only get one meal a day if she's lucky. I don't actually personally think that the neighbor knew that other people were coveting his things. But by looking at that commandment the other way around, or that you get an extra meaning out of it. I'll give you an example of the kind of life that girls like Sarita have. She probably wouldn't do this, but many of the young children, if you give them a rand, and there's about 9 rands in a Canadian dollar, what will they do with the rand? Well, all over the township, you don't even see them at first. There are little stores where people can buy bread and other things. They will go straight to a store and spend their rand. And usually they'll buy chips. Those are sort of things like potato crisps, only less nutrition. And they'll eat them because they're hungry. They cannot conceive of holding money and putting it in a bank. They don't know what banks are for. The idea with money is always to spend it. Just give you an idea, because remember, I come from a financial planning background. And so that's the kind of thing that we meet amongst the people who live in the townships. Now, you may say, what about her parents? Wouldn't they tell her? Well, actually, she's the one that teaches her parents. We are now teaching teenage girls from Avian Park, and I can tell you, they give their parents more good information than their parents give to them, because the previous generation was even worse off than the ones who we have now. Total dependence on the social grant. Everybody gets money from the government. Not a lot, hardly enough to live on in most cases. And you may get one person, not everybody is qualifies for it, but the ones who do, maybe the one person living in a house of 7 or 8 people that do. If you get a baby, the grant goes up. So we have a phenomenon of 14-year-olds having children in order to increase the family income, thinking that that grant is all they need to pay for a child. And what a rude awakening it is for them afterwards when they discover it's nothing like it. Never was intended to be, but nobody told them. All they think of is the grant. Oh, that's all we need. Now, there's a negative side of giving people handouts like that. We have a whole generation of particularly colored people who depend on that grant for everything and would rather sit around in the street for most of the day doing nothing than go out and get a job, even if there were jobs, and there are hardly any jobs at all. The attitude of the government is very much towards entrepreneurship. Teach people how to start a business. And some of them do. But it's really sad to see the majority literally sitting on the only seat they have is the pavement going down to the road. And you'll see them there, hundreds of them, in the townships. What a terrible example to the children. Now, the gangsters, who are really what's happening in the townships, they see any male child from age 12 as fodder for bringing into their gangs. And they'll recruit them, and then they'll set them to work on all sorts of criminal activities, not even stopping from murder. And there are reports every week of another battle between gangs and gang leaders and so on. Sometimes those murder hits are called from inside the prison where we now do ministry, and they will order that a certain person should be killed, some gang debt that needs to be paid. And sometimes the person who has to be killed is the best friend of the person who they tell has to do it, just to show how loyal they're going to be to the gang. So maybe I should tell you a little bit about what we're actually doing as missionaries in this environment. Well, here are they, quite quickly. I'm not going to go into these in detail. We teach in a small school. This is an unregistered school, although we're trying to get it registered, so we can decide exactly what we're going to teach. So I have the pleasure of teaching science. In the beginning, God made, on day one, day two, day three, and I'll work right through it, and I'm totally allowed and encouraged to bring God into the picture. How nice, how pleasant to be able to teach science from a God angle. And the children are at that age, well, they will take anything I say as gospel. So if I were to give them an exam question, why do we have mountains? They probably say because God put them there. It's okay with me. I also teach them, by the way, that mountains come from soil and soil comes from mountains and it's the rock cycle and all that sort of stuff. We run Alpha, surprise, surprise, in Bromfly Correctional Institute. And we started with medium security. By the way, the church that we attend has a lot of programs in the maximum security area. And we ran two Alpha courses in the medium. And then they asked us if we would move to the youth center. And when we did that, caused a small problem in the jail, because not only did inmates come in to our Alpha sessions, but we had two or three guards come in. I've never been in OCDC up the road from here. I've never seen a single guard take the slightest interest in any religious programming whatsoever. It would be way beneath their dignity. So we had the guards, all of whom, by the way, or the majority, are born-again Christians. We couldn't find any atheists in the prison. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in there in the youth area. We split into small groups afterwards, and the subject came up in a group I was with about people who didn't believe in God. And two or three looked at me and said, "What? What? What do you mean people don't believe in God? What do they think created all this?" Now, this is from young but hardened criminals. The concept of God not being there had never crossed their minds. South Africa is 80% Christian country, by the way. And a third ministry, and the one which I'd like to concentrate on for the next not very long, is My Father's House. This is a ministry started by Jan Buchanan, Australian. Her husband was blown away in the tsunami in Asia. She's been on her own ever since. She's a wonderful person. And she asked us if we would take over the ministry to the children from about ages of 5 to 17, 15. And it was running at that time in the library in the middle of Avian Park. It's one good building inside Avian Park. And we did that, but we had a problem. If you get more than 20 of these kids in a room together, you cannot hear yourself think. They cannot not talk. And if, for example, we had 70 children and 80 oranges to give out, we eventually never gave out the extra 10 oranges, because if you started giving somebody two instead of one, there would be a riot. And there would be people running around and pushing and everything and screaming and shouting. The library wasn't really keen on the screaming and the shouting. And through a series of events, we had an organization called the Mailbox Club, which has been running 50 years with educational facilities for children, come and train us in our house. They are the top people in South Africa, Southern Africa, not just South Africa. And they showed us how to run their Bible studies for children. They said, don't have more than 10 in any one group, for the reason I've just said. And you teach the teenagers, the 13-year-olds, to teach these 8, 9, 10-year-olds. And to come up to the present, there are now 5 such mailbox clubs in Avian Park where... Next slide, please. Here are two of the girls who we trained up. The one on the left is Chantal, and the one on the right is Brodny, spelt Brittany. And Chantal has been a real star. And go to the next slide. Here she is. This was the very first picture of the very first mailbox club in her garden, and those are the younger children who she's teaching. Now, these younger kids are far more ready to hear the gospel from her than they would have been from me, ancient old guy, white head. And that's all psychology, but I think you can understand what I'm saying. And not only do the children love this and keep on coming back, but the teachers love doing it as well. So that's our main ministry that we've seen. And a week after we get back, the people who are running the Mailbox Club in South Africa, the son of the president wants to come and see what we're doing. So we have to get this thing back on the rails, even though we won't have been with them for 6 weeks. And I've already been in touch on Messenger with her and with several of the other girls to say we're going into top gear and we've got some really important visitors. I don't need to tell you how happy and joyful that kind of ministry has made both of us. There are numbers of other TKOGs, but I'm just going to talk about one, and that is joy. We have quite a full calendar of events. Each day is quite busy. We don't get up too late and we don't go to bed too early. But I can't remember a time when the next thing I was due to be doing didn't fill me with enjoyment and expectation. It's not like, oh, I've got to go and do that, or oh dear, how am I going to get the energy up to do it? Quite the reverse. And we go from joyful thing to joyful thing to joyful thing, and afterwards you feel even more joyful. This is what God promised, and this is what he has given both of us. I cannot tell you how valuable that is, to have the feeling that we said yes to what we thought he was saying to us, and then he has continually given us all sorts of blessings. In fact, coming back to Canada for this 6 weeks was not actually my favorite thing to think about. We were having such a good time over in South Africa. I've been quite happy to stay there. But I'm glad we did come back, because we got to see you again, and that is a real joy. I want to just mention that Lorianne has been incredibly busy, and she has produced on this memory stick some of her coloring books, which look a little bit like this. This came as a sort of a nudge from God. Before she colored in these pieces of art, we scanned them, and we then turned them into coloring books like this. And these coloring books have the power to change a wild 14-year-old farm child whose parents are, if he has most of the kid, by the way, only have a mother. The fathers are long, long gone. And to turn those wild people into quiet, obedient souls for about an hour doing the coloring. They have enormous power. And so in the several children's ministries that we do, we're now spreading these around. And if you think this would be of fun for your own kids to do, or even for yourself, they're available for a small compensation. And on this stick, she has these coloring books and also 57 of her Ways to Grow in God devotionals, which we broadcast once a week on CWCP radio. So we've done 57, and all those 57 are on here. These sticks are $25 for anyone who might be interested. So I want to publicly thank God for what he's done in our lives in the last 18 months. We look forward with great anticipation to the next 18 months. And after that, we look forward to coming back and reporting to you again. God bless you all.
Jude, while we have you up here, why don't we pray for you?
I would love that.
Yeah, the ministry that you're doing.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for Tony and Lorianne, the work that they've committed themselves to do for your kingdom. They want to serve, love, care for your people in this part of the world that's has much vulnerability and poverty and great need. So Lord, we pray that you would strengthen Tony and Lorianne for the work that they're doing. Lord, make it effective, make it fruitful. By your grace and spirit, allow the work that they're doing to do great things for these people, for these children. Lord, you delight to work in these ways for the glory of your kingdom, for the glory of your name. So we pray that you would do that. We lift up their ministry to you, asking for your blessing upon it. Lord, may your peace always be with them through whatever circumstance, situation, through whatever need they have. We pray, Lord, that you be with them. the prayers of Christ. Beautiful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We hereby present you with the drawings.
Yeah.
And photocopy them, don't colour in the original.
That's right.
They last longer that way.
Yeah, that's right.